Well, good morning, and so glad you're here. Welcome to Second Baptist Church, and it's a grateful opportunity to worship together this morning and look forward to our time together. If you're a guest, I want to say a special welcome to you. Thanks for being here. If you're a guest online, we are grateful that you've chosen to worship with us today. We'd love to connect with you, and we can do that in one of a couple ways. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or online if you've joined us on our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can click that button and fill that information out, and it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today, and just grateful for the opportunity to be together today. I want to make you aware of a few things that are happening in the life and ministry of our church. First of all, this Wednesday, we will have our Bible study with the pastor. We continue to walk through the book of Genesis. That happens Wednesday morning at 9:30. So we'd love for you to come out and spend time with us. It's a fun time. We meet in the reception hall and just meet for about an hour and just walk through the scripture together and pray together. So please make plans to be with us. We will resume our regular Wednesday night activities this week. And so looking forward to all of that. Meal at 5:30. Our students for kindergarten up through 12th grade from 6 to 7 o'clock. And then we have a college Bible study or a college meal at 7:15. And then our college Bible study from 8 to 9 o'clock. And so hope you'll make plans to be a part of that. Next Sunday, we're having baby shower for baby Kennedy, and so Nate and Nikki are expecting child number two, so that is next Sunday. So if you got any questions or anything, you can see Daydreen about that, and she can fill you in. Also, on April 11th and 12th, we're partnering with Church in the Dirt and the Arkansas Baptist Family Ministries to host a marriage enrichment tune-up. That'll be taking place here. It is on Friday night and Saturday morning. It's free. There is child care available. So if you're interested in that, you'll be able to see the sign-ups on social media. We'll get those posted this week. And so I'd love for you to sign up and take note of that. Baptism, Easter's coming on the 20th, and then Baptism Sunday's the following week after that. And so thank you so much for being part of that and praying for that. If you're interested in following the Lord in baptism, man, we'd love to have that conversation and visit with you about that. So looking forward to today and our time of worship. Justin is continuing to lead us today. He was with us last week and then this week, and Brother Jim will be back, Lord willing, next Sunday. So appreciate Justin and him coming and leading. Be praying for him and where the Lord's leading him and his wife, and just thank God for his faithfulness to come and serve. And then I'm really excited about today, about our preacher for the day, Brother Stephen Davis, and he has been a great source of encouragement, him and his wife, Janya, and just been a blessing to me since me and Adrian and our family has come here, and really grateful for him. I believe, did you guys just have a wedding anniversary a couple days ago? 50 years, and so what a blessing. Amen. Amen. You know she's got to love Jesus to be there 50 years, right? So we're all in the same boat. Amen. Brother Stephen, if you don't know him, was pastor of First Baptist Russellville for 27 years and currently serves with North American Mission Board and is an encouragement to pastors. Second Baptist is one of his churches, and so oftentimes I get a text or a note from him just praying for us, praying for me and my family. And so really grateful for your friendship and for your ministry, your testimony in our community, and really grateful for how the Lord's used you and is using you. And so pray for Brother Stephen as he comes in a few moments and preaches the Word of God. I'm excited about this and looking forward to what God has in store for us. This week, I just reading through the Psalms and just reminded about how good and gracious God is to us. And in reading through the book of Deuteronomy, it's the second giving of the law. But when you read through the book of Deuteronomy, the theme is remember. Remember, remember, remember. And this morning, as we stand and worship the Lord in a few minutes, I just want to invite you to remember. Remember what God's done in your life. Remember how good and gracious and times where it didn't seem like you were going to be able to make ends meet and times where maybe bad things should have happened, whatever it is. And it's just been the grace and mercy of God. that has sustained us, that has provided for us, that has cared for us. And so today's a really good day just to remember what God has done and how good he's been to us. And so if you will, if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment, and we're going to have a time of prayer and a time of reflection just for a moment. And so just take a moment, even right where you're at, and just remember how good God's been to you. Remember the things and all that he's done. Maybe it's been in years gone by. Maybe it's been this week. Maybe God has answered prayer this week or maybe even this morning. Lord, you're good. And there is none like you. And I pray, God, in heaven, just thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the blessing of the day. Lord, I thank you for all the things you have done. And Lord, we thank you for all the things you're going to do. Lord, thank you for breath in our lungs. Thank you for a sound mind. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together in freedom, with no fear of persecution. Lord Jesus, I pray that today we would worship you in spirit and in truth. That you, Spirit of God, would sit in this place. And that, God, you would speak to us. And that, God, we would be changed forevermore. Lord, I pray you'd lead, guide, and direct every aspect of our service. God, we've got an agenda, we've got a plan, all those things. But ultimately, we want to be sensitive to your leadership and your plan. And so, God, I pray, even in this moment, God, you would be glorified. Lord, I pray for our worship team as they lead us, God. They point us unto you. And that, God, you'd lead, God, direct every aspect of that. I pray for Brother Stephen when he comes. God, you give him grace to die to self and preach the word of God, as thus saith the Lord. And that, God, you would be glorified in and through what he has to say today. Speak through him, I pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray that you do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask, imagine, or hope for. We love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's all stand together as we worship our great God who does great things. And come let us worship.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm, and you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. You will do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. unshakable. Hallelujah, God, you've done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, God, you've done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You have done great things. You have done great things.
Amen. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
How great thou art. comes my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul. Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to tomorrow. Blessings on my
Sing this out together. We're singing, You Give Life.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great.
greatly to be praised. God, you have given us the breath that is in our lungs, and Lord, in turn, we give it back to you. God, as our offering of praise this morning, God, I thank you for this time we've had to gather together to lift our voices. God, I pray now as we hear from your word that you would speak to us. You would move in this place in ways that only you can. Lord, above all, I thank you for Jesus, you sending him to die on the cross for our sins. It's in his name that I pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. So glad to be here with you this morning. And I am so thankful for Chris and Dadrian Russell. Their impact in their ministry has been so significant in our city. Arkansas Tech University knows Chris Russell and know him, and he has made an impact for the glory of God. And I'm so thankful, and your church, as I now have the opportunity to serve our North American Mission Board as pastor-to-pastor relations person, you're one of the top. I have 104 churches I work with. You're in the top with that group in your giving. And I just want to say thank you from the North American Mission Board for the Annie Armstrong offering and for the Lottie Moon. And thank you for your gifts. And I want you to know they go for a good purpose and a good reason. And I'm grateful for that. One little thing you probably don't even know about the North American Mission Board is that last year we rescued 19 girls out of sex trafficking. How's that? Isn't that something? And all that you see where storms are happening and everything's going on, we send relief ministries, the disaster relief from Arkansas and all the states, and we coordinate that with them, giving meals and doing all those things. And what's going on all the time? We're taking care of people, but they're being shared the gospel. We saw 128,000 plus people pray to receive Christ through Send Relief alone last year. Isn't that something? And you're a part of that in your giving and your praying. So thank you so very much. We have church planting going on all over the United States, and we're seeing some great things happen. I've had the opportunity, wherever there's riots, we're going in Portland, Seattle, San Diego, Detroit, Denver, the Queens, Brooklyn, Atlanta, going in. We've got a young man and his wife and children in Washington, D.C., of all places, planting a church and reaching people for Jesus. So we're seeing that happen. And I take pastors from here, and they go and they embrace. Our association sent a bunch to Kansas City. They are now part of church plants in 5 different churches, many of them different languages. So guys are having to learn Romanian and different things like that. Not that they're learning it, but the thing is they're helping reach people for Christ. So thank you so much for what you're doing. You know, it's a great privilege to be a part of a walk with the Lord Jesus that reaches people, that sees a difference, that make a difference in your life for eternity. And I want to tell you, brother, you and I didn't even talk about the songs that you were going to pick this morning, but I'm going to tell you, they fit right into what God's wanting to do. Because what we want to talk about this morning is, are you experiencing the abundant life? Are you really experiencing Jesus? The songs that sang is speaking to us of a relationship and personal with Jesus Christ. You know, Christianity, we lose track of it sometimes. Christianity is a relationship with a person, and the person's name is Jesus. That's why the people in Antioch called it Christianity, Christ a unity. They saw that it was in Christ that everything was going on. And so we see that we get caught up in the religious part, but really Christianity is a relationship. All other groups are religious, but Christianity is a personal relationship, and his name is Jesus, and he wants to have an intimacy with us. He wants us to experience the abundant life. What did he promise in John 10:10? He said, I have come that you may have life and that more abundant. So that's our gift from him. The moment we put our faith and trust in him and invite him into our life as personal Lord and Savior, he, Jesus, who is abundant life, comes to dwell within us by his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit wants to release that abundant life through us to other people. And that's what we're singing about. It is so wonderful. You know, poor Janya, my wife. This is our 50th wedding anniversary, but you must know we met in seminary. And I remember talking with her, meeting her, and I knew she loved Jesus. And I said, oh, my goodness, I'm an older guy. Here she is. So we saw God starting to work, and I told her, I said, Janya, I'm 10 years older than you, and I always will be, and I'm going to be bald-headed in 5 years. Folks, I didn't lie. Here we are 50 years later, three wonderful children, seven unbelievable grandchildren, and we're just praising the Lord Jesus. I turned 83 this month. She's going to be 10 years younger pretty soon. Not quite yet. I'm 11 years older than her right now. But that was one of the great blessings of my life, because I met a person who knew a personal relationship with Jesus, and what exuded out of her was the joy of the Lord, the abundant life. I mean, I was just drawn in by her precious walk with Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. And she passed that on to our children, and that makes it wonderful. You know, I grew up in Muskogee, Oklahoma for about 8 years. I'm a real Okie from Muskogee, Midwest City, University of Oklahoma, so, you know, just get it all out. And so the thing was, is that we loved to play baseball. I mean, I played baseball at the University of Oklahoma, but I started playing when I guess I was sitting on the floor and somebody's rolling me a ball. I have no idea, but I loved it all the time. And so we would play baseball and do things. It'd get hot in the summer, and we'd stick that, you know, you'd put your glove on their belt and hanging on there. And you may remember, I got my first glove through the Cracker Jack box. I sent a quarter in, and that glove came, and it was just like that. So you had to learn to catch with two hands, because you weren't going to grab it with that glove. And so here we'd go to Nick Oakley's grocery store. Nick Oakley, later on, when I lived in the athletic dorm at OU, he was there playing football for OU, that same kid that I grew up with. And so here we'd go to Oakley, and any of y'all ever remember the big old ice chest that sat out there in a grocery store? Anybody remember those things? Had the grape-ed in it and the orange drink and all that stuff? You remember any of that? Yeah, okay, good. I wanted to get a few hands back there. So I look in there, and there's a grape-ed, and there's an orange, and there's a Coke. What do you think I was going for? Anybody got an idea? RC Cola. You run that RC Cola right down the line, pull it out, get it out, and you pop it. I walk up there to Mr. Oakley, and I give him a nickel. And I gave him a nickel, then I had another nickel, and I gave him another nickel, and what did he give me? He gave me a bag of Tom's peanuts. I tore off that bag, poured it into that RC Cola. Are you with me? Put my thumb over the top. But I had one more nickel that day, and what did I get with that other nickel? Anybody want to take a guess? Moon pie. You get the prize. I wish I had one to give you. And so there I was, there with Nick Oakley and me and my brother Greg and a guy named Gary Hendren, whose brother, Mike Hendren, was a physician here for many years and played football up at Arkansas. But here we were walking down the street. Man, we were just strutting. Whew, just, hey, man, it's been a great day. Shaking that RC Cola. And then we look at each other, and it's all about time. We get that thing right up close to our mouth, that bottle. Take off the thumb and let that thing loose in our mouth. Oh, my goodness. That fizz will change your life. That fizz will change your life. I mean, it explodes in your mouth. I can remember it. It explodes in your mouth, and those peanuts and all that stuff. And, oh, man, it was good. It was real good. And we just went along and enjoyed and talking. But if you didn't watch out with RC Cola or any of the drinks in those days, that if you didn't watch out after the fizz was gone and you weren't paying attention, what did you run into? The syrup at the bottom of the jar, of the bottle. And that syrup, if you didn't watch out and it hit you, oh, good night, it ruined the whole day. You just spitting it out, oh, good night. You know, you didn't pay attention to that. Well, what happens so much in our Christian life, folks, is that when Jesus came into our life, he gave us the fizz. He gave us an abundant life. And he wants us to experience it every step of the way, just like we sang. Oh, those old hymns, those folks that wrote that knew about that. And it just tore it apart. But what happens in our life, we get caught up so much in different things around us. We get caught up in the world, the flesh, the devil, but we also get caught up in religious kind of things. And we get a bad taste in our mouth, and things don't work out just the way we thought they ought to work out, and we go on from there. Well, King David was a, you know about David. He was a great man. In fact, it said that he was a man after God's own heart. And David knew what it was to experience the abundant life of God as a shepherd boy, and then to become the king. But you know what he did? He let the fizz run out. He got his eyes off of Jesus. And he got his eyes on himself. And as it says in the scriptures, is that it's springtime and the kings usually go out to fight their battles, that David stayed home. That was the time that David made the great mistake in his life. And he went about, and he lost his joy. He lost his relationship with Jesus. And he got caught up in his kingship and gave excuses for everything that he was doing. And he tried to cover it all up. He tried to get around it. But God, listen to this. God loved David too much to let him stay where he was. Folks, we're going to get back to that here today, because that is a central idea you want to know. God loves us, but he loves us too much to let us stay where we are when we get off base, when we get into the syrup at the bottom of the bottle and make decisions that are contrary to what he wants for us. And we need to really get that clear. So go over to Psalm 51. That'll be our text today. And in Psalm 51, we see what happens with King David. David is confronted. He's tried to cover up. He's committed other sin to cover this sin. He's gone through all that. And Nathan comes in and he's convicted. So King David responds with a repentant heart, because he wants to continue to experience that abundant life that God gave him. He wants to have that as his own. So he gets with the Lord and he sings this Psalm 51. And he brings that together. It's a contrite sinner's prayer for pardon, and that's what he's going to do. So let's see what takes place in his life as he uncovers and he shows us, how do we get back to the fizz, back to the abundant life that Jesus says is ours by possession. That means we've got it, but we're just not there. We're relying and doing other things. So we see what happens. The first thing he says, he talks about willingness. So I want to ask you something right now. I want you just to draw a circle, an imaginary circle. Step into that circle, just you and God alone. Don't think about anybody else around you. Don't think about anything else in your life right now. I'm asking you, just draw an imaginary circle. Step into that circle. Say, God, I want to do business with you. And I want you to be able to say, Lord God, I am willing to be made willing to let you do anything in my life today that you want to do, and to do anything through me that you want to do. Amen? Okay, so as you're in that circle, I want to say that, and would you repeat it after me? Do you mind doing that? Lord God, I'm in this circle. Lord God, I'm in this circle. You'll say that with me? Lord God, I'm in this circle, and I'm willing to be made willing. And I'm willing to be made willing to let you do anything in my life, to let you do that you want to do, and to do anything through my life that you want to do. All right? Now, let's see what he wants to do. What does he want you to be willing to do? What does he want all of us to be willing to do in our life? What he told David. He said, first of all, be willing to confess your sin. There's Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when you speak and blameless when you judge me. I mean, can we hear that cry? He's confessing. Confession, what is it? Simply agreeing with what God already knows. Agreeing with God what he already knows. Whenever the Father was, God was walking in the garden and Adam and Eve didn't come to meet him, and he said, where are you? And that's what he asked us. Where are you in your walk with me? Where are you in your life right now? What's going on? He said, I'm seeing things that you're not accepting, or you're not acknowledging. So I confess to agree with God, because we are there with Him, and we need to know that. Where are you? Confession doesn't blame others. Confession doesn't blame others. Confession is to take full responsibility for my actions or my reactions and my attitudes. God doesn't and isn't going to justify any of my actions and reactions and attitude that are not pleasing to Him. He'll never come and say, well, they shouldn't have treated you that way. They shouldn't have done that which they did. He's saying, you just get your heart right with me. There's no one but you that I need to talk with. Verse 4, he's talking there again. There's this, he's letting us know, he understands, against thee and thee only I have sinned. Thou art. He's talking about a relationship with a person. He's talking about the Lord God Almighty, and he wants to be right with him and to be right in every way. And he wants to be honest. Just like he wrote in Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and show me the hurtful ways in me. You see, that's where we are. We need to all come to that. Really, throughout each day or sometimes, we need to walk with an attitude, quick to confess. Quick to say, God, search me. I feel like the joy. I'm not experiencing some things that I see other people experiencing that I read about. And I want it to be real with me, so search me and show me. 1 John 1:9, whenever John is writing, the Spirit of God spoke to him to write this. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, it's worth it if we can stay right with God. It's worth it if we stay with him and stay right on him and to say no to whatever. And just remember this. Don't forget this. Don't forget how much God really loves you. God, I mean, we don't deserve it, but he loves us. He is unconditional in his love. Don't ever forget how much he loves you and that he wants for you. But God, remember, loves us too much to let us stay where we are in our sin. And I'm so grateful that he never lets up on that in our life. And so we want it to become a reality for each one of us in our life. Now, the second thing that we see, confession. But you know what God really also wants? He wants us to be willing to be cleansed by God. Willing to be cleansed by God. We see that in 51:2. Look there. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Then we see in verse 7. Purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. And then verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. What is that the picture of? What is a cleansed heart? A cleansed heart is a repentful heart. So I need to live each day if I'm going to experience the fizz of the abundant life. I'm going to live each day ready to confess, ready to search me, God. Don't let me get away with anything. Holy Spirit, just don't let me get away with anything. And then the second thing is, Lord God, I want to be quick to repent. You have cleansed my heart, and I will be quick to repent of anything going on in my life and whatever is going on in my life and whatever's that think of it. God will always touch down, folks, when we're honest. When we are honest, God is going to touch down. And repentance, real repentance, is an honest move on our part. Just think about it. Whenever you got saved, God revealed sin in your life. And you repented honestly, and God touched down, and you were saved. How do you know when a child, for instance, is really ready? I mean, they all want to go to heaven. But when do you know that they really are ready to meet with Jesus? It's whenever God's calling card of repentance is on their heart, that they really have a heart about their own sinful choices and attitude and want to get it right. Whenever that happens, that's a God thing. The devil doesn't want you to do that. The world doesn't want you to do it. Only the Lord God. And so it makes it so much easier for us to understand that. We all want to live daily with a cleansed, repentful heart so that God can move upon us like he wants to. True repentance always leads to action. Did you know that? True repentance led us to the cross to get saved and to go before the people of God and to confess our salvation thing and to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Well, Acts 26:20 says, repent and turn to God and live lives to prove your change of heart. Live lives to prove your change of heart. You see what David? I mean, David was a man that knew God, but he fell into sin. He allowed that. Hey, I've been there. How about you? I've seen things happen in my life that I couldn't believe. Yet I knew God. But I was not being honest with myself and with a repentful heart. I wasn't quick to confess. I was trying to cover it up and do this and do that. You know, we begin to be dishonest with ourselves and with others when we do something we shouldn't do. And I tried to justify and blame. You can't go there. So the thing is, what happens is, what kind of life, what kind of thing am I going to do with my changed heart? What's going to show that I have changed my heart? It's the third thing that I must be willing. Must be willing to consecrate myself to God. To consecrate myself to God. What are we talking about? To consecrate ourselves to God. Consecration means of the lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. That there's only one Lord, one Master, and His name is Jesus. There's no one else in the room with Jesus. You know that. You know the pantheon that is there in Athens, Greece. It's got all the gods that they worship. But I'm going to tell you something. The pantheon of the Christian faith, there's only one in the room. There's not anybody on the other team. He's the only one in that category as Lord God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Jesus said, as recorded in Luke 9:23, said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Take up his cross, folks. That's a death. That's a death symbol. That I am dying to myself, and the only life I have is the life of Jesus living through me. To deny myself, take up my cross daily, and then to follow him. To follow him with all of my heart. Like the song says, I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though the world doesn't want to go with me, I still will follow. I still will follow. Folks, we live in a world, a cultural situation that it's becoming unpopular in many places to not follow Christ. But yet, do you see the revival that's going on these college campuses? We see what's happening, and all of a sudden you hear these pro athletes and others in their interviews, college, they start talking about Jesus. They start talking about God. There is a move of God that we don't want to miss, and we want to stay with and move along with it in every situation that we do. And we want that to be. That's the life of total surrender to Jesus Christ. You say, that's just crazy. That's just impossible. Well, listen, Jesus doesn't offer any shortcuts. I just got to tell you, there's no shortcuts. He lays it out, and when he comes, he lays it out. There's no shortcuts to our commitment. Paul said it in this way in Romans. He had finished the first 11 chapters of Romans talking about the great theologies of the faith, the great theology of the faith. Then he kicks off verse 1 of chapter 12. Therefore, after all I've been saying to you, therefore I beseech you, therefore, my brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove by the way you live that the will of God is acceptable, perfect. It's the right thing. Well, that's the difference that is made in lives. You see, what we happen so much, instead of changing the culture around us, far too much of the time the culture is changing the church. And we need to stop that, don't we? We need to not let that happen. We need to step in and be a part. It's high time that we were different than that. That we stand for the Lord Jesus. And you do it in a spirit of love and truth together. You see, love without truth is what? It's harshness. Truth without love, love without truth is a compromise. Whenever people talk about all this love, and they use it now, in fact, in different circles, love without the truth of what God says is a compromise. But truth without love is harshness. And the New Testament, the Word of God, Old and New Testament, comes at us in a balanced way where truth and love are always together. And that's something to keep in mind in this culture in which we live today. There's a prayer that I frequently pray in my life. And it's one that I got from a friend named Tom Harmon that just blessed me so much. And I go and in prayer and I said, Lord God, I choose today to be crucified to this world. And Galatians 6:14 says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I unto the world. And I go and I say, Lord God, I don't want to love the world nor the things in this world, but set my affections upon you. I don't want to have the philosophies of this world, but rather the mind of Christ. I don't want to be conformed to this world, but I want to be conformed to the image of Jesus. And then, I don't want to walk according to the course of this world, but I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to know what it is to really live my life for you. How does our life make a difference? Jesus teaches us in John 15:5. He said, abide in me, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what a nothing is in the Greek language, by the way? A nothing is a zero with the circle knocked off. There's nothing. That means there's not a thing that I can do in my life, and have I tried, that would amount to anything. There is nothing I can do that has eternal significance. I can do things, you know, on a local level, but I'm talking about eternal significance apart from abiding in Jesus. What is it to abide? To abide in Jesus is to trust Him, to love Him, to follow Him, to live by His truth and His love together, and to stay the course with Him through it all. What are we to do knowing this truth? If we are to know this truth, that I'm going to live my life ready to confess and agree with God, not justify myself, have a repentant heart that takes action to be consecrated and to reach out to people. You know what it is? To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I got to, hey, who's in control now? The control is the Holy Spirit in my life. This Christian life, by the way, have you found out? This Christian life is impossible to live. You find that out? And when you hear stuff like this and you read the Scriptures, God's asking me to deny myself, take up my cross daily and follow Him. He's asking for total surrender and commitment to my life. That's Christianity. There's no shortcuts. There's no way to water that down. But He says, it's impossible to live it. So get that in your head. It's impossible to live the Christian life. But it's not impossible for Jesus in me to live the Christian life through me. You got it? Amen. Hey, Blaze, one of my grandsons, would you come up here just a second? Come up here just a second. I want to just illustrate this to you. I don't know if you're like your dad, but take off one of those shoes, would you? What kind is that? Is that a Nike?
Yeah.
You know what Nike means? What is God is the victory. Where'd you learn that? Oh, did your sister teach you that? Okay. So, you see this Nike? It's a beautiful shoe, but it represents the Christian life that God has given us. All right? I mean, it is a magnificent shoe. And here's what we do so much with our Christian. Come on up, Blaze. This is Blaze Davis, by the way. And we set our life, and we go to church, and we set up like that. People say, well, yeah, I'm a Nike. I'm a Christian. I got it all. Well, tell me, show it to me. Here it is. What has to happen to this shoe for me to show you that it's really something? You got to put a foot in it. But Blaze's foot in this and Michael Jordan's foot in this would probably produce different things, don't you think? Okay. So, but the thing is, I want you to know, Christianity is not that. Christianity, slip your foot in that. It's to slip your life, just like let Jesus control you from the inside out and walk the way. Thank you, man. You see, that's what I want to get that in my head. I got the drink and I got the fizz, but if I'm going to keep it there, I got to realize that I can't live this life. I got to trust Jesus, whose life is the one who does it and lives that life through me in fullness of everything that I want in my life. So I need to understand that and know it. While this truth came to me as a young Christian, in fact, in October of 1970, I was 28 years old. I've been out of the University of Oklahoma since 1964. And I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior of all places in California. I lived in the Bible Belt, folks. I went there, and somebody asked me, "Do you have a relationship with Jesus?" And I go, I went to RA camp. I was baptized. I went to church. You know, I had all the religious answers. And they said, "No, I'm talking about, do you have a relationship with him? Do you know him? Do you really spend time with him every day?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." So I had to go take care of that. And that never left me. It was on my mind all the time. And then finally, I encountered Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, the verse that became my life verse, even to today, is Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." I mean, I'm dead to the old Steve Davis. "Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives within me." He's the foot in my shoe, so to please. "And this life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I put my trust, just like you got faith sitting in those chairs. We sit down and put our faith in Jesus to hold us up and to go forward. And that was the difference. And so throughout all these years, as things would go on, I'd say, "Lord God, I need to plug in to that 220 power source." You got it? The power source, that 220 power source. And it made so much difference. Now, what we see now, though, is the natural outcome when the Holy Spirit is in control of my life and I'm walking in the Spirit of God, being quick to agree with God about my life, being repentful in everything I do and taking that action of choosing to deny myself and following Jesus, you know what the outcome is going to be? I'll be willing to communicate Jesus to other people. It's just a natural thing. The Holy Spirit's controlling me. What's he going to do? He's going to glorify and honor Jesus through my life. And we see in Psalm 51:13, he said, "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee." Sinners will be converted to you. Wow. When the Holy Spirit is living in us, folks, and he's in control, we're going to have to backslide not to witness. You'll have to backslide not to witness. You'll have to turn your back on somebody to not witness, because he's going to put people right in your way, because he loves you enough that he wants you to add to the family. And so he's going to put you there. And what is it? Sharing Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Leave the results to God. The pressure's not on us. It's all on Jesus. It's all on the Holy Spirit. All he's saying is, you be my Nike, and I'll put my foot in you, and I'll get you there. I'll walk with you, and I'll be the one. You just trust me to do that in every way. Listen, the great thing to understand about this relationship at Abundant Life is no demand is going to be made upon your life and my life that's not made upon Jesus Christ who lives within us. Isn't that something? I don't care what's going on. I don't care what's going on in your family, in your job, in your ministry, in your school, in your friendships or whatever. No demand is going to be made upon your life that's not made upon Jesus Christ who lives within you. You go to the operating table, you may be put out, but he's not out. The Holy Spirit's well. He's alive. He's listening. And no demand. You get into a difficult situation, there's no demand made upon you in that. It's going to be Jesus in you. You just, what you do, you just go back to him. Go back to him. Plug into that 220 circuit. And no, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I mean, what did Charles Haddon Spurgeon said? He said, "Listen, I just said, world, you just come right on. But I'm as dead as I can be. You're going to have to deal with Jesus." That's what we need to know. And it makes such a difference. But we got to practice it. Folks, I don't want to give you any impression that I've done everything perfectly, because I haven't. But I'm going to tell you, we know this to be true. We know it. It's just constantly all throughout Scripture. So we want to know that. We can enjoy the abundant life that we have when we were saved. It was He. You know why? Because the abundant life is nothing more than Jesus Himself in us. It's Him. He is our sum total of all things is found in Jesus. So what do you need to do? I don't know where you are. You may have been like me. I would have, at 28 years old, somebody asked me I was saved and used that term. I'd say, well, yeah. I'd have gone straight to hell, folks, thinking I was going to heaven when I died. So I want to just say, how do we act? Acknowledge that I don't really have a relationship. I've got religious beliefs and all those things, but I want a relationship. And confess my sin and confess that Jesus is Lord. And then trust Him, rely upon Him, and surrender my life to Him. I want you and me to live that abundant life, because it's the life of joy and purpose and meaning and strength, no matter the circumstance and the trials, a life of walking in faith and trusting God all the way. So back to the garden. Jesus is walking in the garden, and He's asking, where are you? What's going on? Let's talk. I want to know what's happening in your life. I want you to see what's happening. Are you willing to be made willing to let God do whatever He wants to do in your life? Because He loves you so very much. And I just want to ask you to respond in however way God leads you. It may be to transfer ownership of your life over to Him as personal Lord and Savior. It may be just to reaffirm, Lord God, I've settled for a little bit less than what You have for me. And I want to restore and regain that relationship with You the way You really want it. And I want to do that. Whatever God's saying to you, would you respond? Let's all stand together. Brother, come and lead us as we worship together. And I ask our pastor, Chris, if he'll be down here in front, if any of you need to talk with him. Share with him. And I just want to say thank you for this special privilege of just drawing us together in the throne room of Jesus.
Sing with me, how
me how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
Amen. I'm going to ask our men if they'll begin to take their place so we can receive the offering as a lead. Brother Stephen, thank you so much for being here. Just grateful for you. Excited that Blaze got to know for just a moment what it felt like to be one, his dad, right? A PK for a moment, you know. All of life is fair game, right? So you never know what's going to come from dads at the pulpit. And Blaze got a little taste of that this morning, so praise the Lord. So that'll be fun. Good. Thank you so much for being here. Excited about what God's doing in and through our church family. Continue to pray for our church family. Pray for one another. And we are continuing our Annie Armstrong Easter offering through this month of March. And so my hope and prayer is that you've prayed about what the Lord would have you to give, and you're faithful to give that. And the Lord will use that and advance it for the kingdom, and grateful for that. Also, as you give your tithes and offerings, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And I know in our bulletin we don't have all the updated information. Most of our staff was gone this week and enjoyed some time off. And so we'll update you, Lord willing, next week. And again, grateful for you. Thank you for all that you do. Justin, thank you so much for being with us. And pray for him and his wife as they're seeking the Lord's direction. And the Lord is leading them. And just appreciate you being with us, brother. It was a blessing. So if you will, let's stand together. And we're going to pray and be dismissed. Thank you so much for being here. Let me pray for us. God in heaven, you are good and gracious and kind. And thank you so much for your love and faithfulness. Lord, thank you for just opportunity to worship you today. And Lord, sing truth to you and about you. God, thank you for the man of God that stood and preached the word of God to us. I pray you'd bless him, bless his family. Lord, minister to him, use him for your kingdom and your glory. Lord, I pray, help us to be willing to put our yes on the table, and whatever that means, to go where you'd have us to go and do what you'd have us to do. Lord, we do pray as we leave today, you'd fill us with your Spirit. And God, I pray that we would leave here speaking the word of God with boldness. And lead, guide, and direct us. Help us to be a witness for you. Bless the tithes and offerings. Use it for your kingdom. We love you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.